it's my honor and privilege to introduce John Gorman. As you all know, he is our president and CEO. I can't say enough about John. He is a tireless and fearless advocate on our behalf. He leads Kansia, and it's not just a job for him, it really is truly a vocation. And we should all be very thankful that he is where he is today, especially today, given what we just spoke about. John currently sits on the Minister of Environment and Climate Change Task Force on climate change. He has been truly instrumental in getting solar on the climate change agenda. I know that seems a little odd, but honestly, there was a time when solar was not part of the agenda, and John wedged himself in there and made sure that solar was not forgotten. He also serves as Canada's designate to the International Energy Agency, and he sits on the Executive Council of the Canadian Council on Renewable Energy. I didn't know this about John, but he has also been recognized as one of Canada's Clean 50 and is the recipient of the 40 Under 40 Business Award for Excellence in Business Practices, a very prestigious award. Please help me welcome John to the stage.
Thank you for those very kind words, Utilia, and thank you for your leadership over these last couple of years, these very critical months for the solar industry in Ontario and in Canada. Certainly your advice and guidance as chair of the board has led us through making some very important and I think successful decisions about how we act as the voice for this industry, and I appreciate your hard work. Welcome everyone to Solar Ontario 2016. I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces there from last evening's events. That was a wonderful event, wasn't it? I think everyone had a lot of fun. I certainly did. Utilia was joking with me right before I came up this morning, saying that my table, that people at my table were on the edges of their seats, wondering what I was going to say next. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I want to assure you I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say next either, so it's a sort of a good dynamic that way. Which sort of brings me to this story that's stuck in my head, if I can deviate off of my speaking points here, but it's really sticking with me. I want to tell you what happened yesterday. So I came to the you know, check out how the preparations were going for the conference, and on my way back to the hotel, approached the escalator. And there weren't a lot of people around at that time, but there were three older folks standing at the sort of right at the blocking the entranceway to the escalator. And you know, I mean, they're probably in their mid 70s or something like that, depending on how old you are. You know, maybe your mother or your grandmother, you know, two women and a man, sort of dressed in tourist clothes. Could have been my mom. And so I approach there, and I'm standing there for a couple of seconds. And the man turns to me and he says, "I'm sorry. We'll let you pass. It's just that, you know, I forget her name now. I think it was Anne. Has never taken an escalator before." Imagine that. She had never taken an escalator before. I don't know the reason why. I didn't ask, but I said, well, here, let me, you know, I'll go first. And I stepped on, and I helped her on, and she was assisted by her friends. And up we go, and we get to the top. She gets off absolutely no problem, and she says, "We made it." And I think I did a pretty good job, don't you? And I said, yes, you did. And I don't know why this is. I mean, I was thinking about this all last night. I don't know what combination of things is making this stick with me. But it strikes me that, you know, the world, from a climate policy perspective, the nations of the world with COP21 have really sort of stepped onto an escalator together. This could be a watershed moment for the world in terms of 195 countries having brought to that United Nations Convention not only a list of the things that they had accomplished, but a list of the things that they intend to do. And every evidence is that what we've done and the course that we're on is making a difference. We are seeing, for the first time, a decoupling of emissions from the economy. Our economy is growing, and emissions are not. We saw last year, for the first time, greater investment in renewables, and I'm not counting hydro here, I'm talking about wind and solar, than we saw in fossil fuel generation. And of course, you know, carbon pricing, efficiency, you know, that they're playing a role, but renewable electricity and renewable energy is playing a very significant role in this. And clearly the drive globally here is, if we're gonna tackle this climate change problem, let's clean up our electricity system and let's transform, let's electrify through electrification, let's transform our transportation, buildings, and industrial sectors. We're on an escalator together on this path. Now, Canada's is part of this. We're not immune from this. In fact, we've got very aggressive targets that we've set for ourselves, 30% reduction by 2030. And right now, as I understand it, we are on track to be 55% over our reference year of 2005. We have a lot of work to do. And this is what I wanted to tell you. As the federal government puts its own climate change plan together, not only do they have this aggressive target to meet, but they're working within certain confines. And by that I mean, we know how Alberta is treating the oil sands and what license the oil sands have to produce emissions going to 2030. I mean, they've done some remarkable things there, don't get me wrong, and the methane work that's going on in the oil sands is great, but you know, the federal government is looking at Alberta. Oil sands will continue as a sort of business as usual case for 2030, so they're locked into certain elements. And they're going to realize very shortly that electrification is the only way we're going to be able to meet our 2030 targets. Now, fortunately, we have a great head start on this front. You know, 65% renewable electricity, 80% you know, non-emitting electricity in Canada, one of the cleanest electricity systems in the world. And we've got aggressive commitments, as Utilia was saying, from Alberta, Saskatchewan, some of the eastern provinces, that according to, you know, the Deep Decarbonization Pathways team, is gonna decarbonize our electricity system by another 80% by 2040. So we have this amazing resource in Canada that we can use to electrify the transportation, buildings, and industrial sectors and meet our targets. But it's gonna mean real investment, it's going to mean real coordination, and it's gonna be some very interesting times. So my message for you is this. We're going to see over the coming weeks that deep decarbonization for Canada, which is what we're talking about here, means deep electrification. Now, where does that leave Ontario? I'm not going to speak to Ontario. I'm going to introduce Wes Johnston in just a moment, who's going to bring us through that. But I will say this. In Ontario, we have all of the ingredients to do our part in achieving climate reductions while benefiting the economy. We've got an incoming carbon pricing regime. We've got a climate change action plan that is coming. You may have read about that in the Globe yesterday. We've got a diverse, flexible, clean generating suite already, 90% fossil fuel free in this province, a clean system. We've got increasingly progressive consumers, LDCs and agencies, and regulatory bodies who are leading us through this evolution. And we've got progressive programs, very progressive programs that are coming down the pipe. So solar is an anchor for all of those pieces, and we've got a very bright future here. And to speak to that opportunity and to speak about the challenges and to speak about solar's role and what CanSEA is doing on behalf of the industry to make this future in Ontario happen, I'd like to introduce my right-hand man and partner at CanSEA. He's going on for about 10 years now, started on the policy side, and since then has become absolutely instrumental in terms of the very transformative things that CanSEA has been doing over these last several years in terms of internal operations, you know, our new website, our new customer relationship management tool, our new branding, managing the team and making sure that we're being responsive to your needs, absolutely indispensable. Wes Johnston, would you come up here, please?
Thank you very much, John, and it's been a pleasure working with you over the last 4 years, I guess, so as well. So certainly we've worked together quite nicely and continue to work with Fuller membership to really make some change here in Canada as well. I hope you all enjoyed the awards gala last night. Congratulations again to all of the nominees and all of the winners. The event itself was a little less X-rated than in years past, but I think it was fun nonetheless, so I'm glad you all enjoyed yourselves. I grew up as a farm boy in Prince Edward Island, and it was there where I first learned how powerful Mother Nature really is, and how the sun, the wind, the earth, and the rain can provide us with everything that we need to survive and prosper. But I was also amazed by technology and humankind's ingenuity to take these forces and to bend them to our will and to our benefit. Then, and still to this day, I believe solar energy and its ubiquitous and abundant power provides the best opportunity to change this world for the better, to create healthy, prosperous, and peaceful communities for each one of us and our families. With that belief and that passion, I made my way to CanSEA about 10 years ago. During this time, there has been one constant theme within the industry: change. Now, change is occurring again. As John highlighted, climate policy is changing the way that we approach energy planning and energy use around the world. We're experiencing that as a solar sector right here in Ontario. For example, the FIT and LRP programs are expected to be phased out in 2017-2018. This means that the path is not clear for distributed solar generation and large-scale solar. Let's face it, the game is changing. The question is, are you ready? Do you know what your business model is going to look like in 2 years, in 5 years? Think about that. What is your business model going to look like in 2 to 5 years? Now, our conference program today is designed to inform your decisions as we make our way through this exciting and dynamic transition, and we will succeed. I know this because I have witnessed firsthand the perseverance and resiliency of this industry, of the people in this room, and the great things that we have accomplished already. For example, in Ontario, we have installed over 2,500 megawatts of cumulative PV capacity to date. In 2015 alone, Canada ranked as the number 10 country in the world, according to the International Energy Agency, while Ontario ranked as the number 3 jurisdiction in North America. Now, we tend to downplay our accomplishments here in Ontario. It's very Canadian of us. But that's impressive, quite impressive. Also, the industry achieved new record lows in LRP solar bid prices when the average price of 15.7 cents was achieved. 15.7 cents. This is the first time that a large-scale solar project was contracted at a price lower than the electricity rate in Ontario. The completion of these projects will demonstrate that solar energy is cost competitive with other generation types, proving to both government and consumers that solar is the smart economic choice. Furthermore, this past year, CanSEA was able to lock in additional rounds of solar procurement, being FIT 5 and LRP 2. Going forward, CANSIA will continue to collaborate with government and the IESO to secure a Fit 6 procurement. So you see, we have accomplished a lot together. We've succeeded in the centralized procurement model. But we're transitioning to new policy framework, one that we are not familiar with. Let's face it, the game is changing. So how does solar energy cross the chasm and move into the mainstream? CANSIA is here to help the industry do just that, and to take a leadership role in reshaping the game. And here's how. Firstly, climate policy is proving to be the next great opportunity for solar energy, as John and Utilia mentioned. Last year at Solar Ontario 2015, we signaled that a fundamental shift was underway from a centralized renewable electricity procurement system to a convergence of energy and policy, and climate policy rather. Indeed, Ontario will soon enact the Climate Change Mitigation and Low Carbon Economy Act with the goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This act is expected to generate cap and trade revenues of almost $2 billion annually. $2 billion annually, that's a big number. Due to the work of CANSIA's successful Ontario Climate Change Strategic Project, solar companies are well positioned as solar technology is eligible for these cap and trade funds. The funds will also be used to incentivize energy storage, energy efficiency, microgrids, and other technology solutions, as decarbonizing means greater electrification of the economy. Secondly, net metering will also create new opportunities. As discussed yesterday, the Ontario government has created the net metering and self-advisory, or excuse me, the self-consumption advisory working group, which has been tasked with updating net metering regulations for a post-fit world. CANSIA has taken a leadership position on net metering. For example, in 2015, CANSIA created the Distributed Generation Task Force, a successful strategic project funded by CANSIA members. After additional consultation with the full membership, CANSIA submitted our recommendations to the government working group. We're currently in the process of educating government and other stakeholders, advocating that adopting CANSIA's recommendations will enable a sustainable shift from the FIT model we currently operate within today to an unsubsidized net metering regime in the future. This is very, very important work. Thirdly, the Ontario government will begin its long-term energy plan consultation this fall. This energy framework will integrate many climate policy elements and will shape the game for years to come. CANSIA, alongside its members, will take a leadership role in this conversation through CANSIA's new Ontario Strategic Project, as we need to continue the push and ensure that solar energy is prominently placed within Ontario's long-term energy plan. So as you can see, the future looks much different than it does today. These sweeping changes are going to create new and exciting opportunities for each of you in the room here today. But to truly have solar energy go mainstream, companies will have to change the way they do business, because the strategies that made them successful in the past will no longer make them successful in the future. It's no longer just about standalone solar projects. It's about working more closely with new sectors and new stakeholders, integrating solar solutions into new technology platforms and the built environment. It's about finding ways to better define our target customer and find better ways to provide them with value. And as always, we need to enhance performance and efficiencies to drive down costs. Our award winners last night are great examples showcasing what it takes to be creative, to be innovative, and to change the game. We are stronger together. As a united team under CanSEA, I believe solar energy will dominate the energy game. And I encourage you to join us. Join CanSEA and join our team. If we work together, if we pool our resources, CanSEA alongside our members, together we can shape the future and entrench solar energy within Ontario's low carbon economy. Thank you.